Hello, and welcome to the Extremist Publishing Podcast. I'm Tom Christie, and I'm delighted today to be joined by a brand new friend of the podcast, all the way from glorious Alabama in the United States. It's Mrs. Mary Moore, who's one of the directors of the North Pole Press. Thanks so much for joining us today, Mary.
Thanks, Tom. I'm just so happy to be here, and of course, to be able to talk about illustrations today, which is what I basically do for the North Pole Press. And you know, one of the things I was thinking about is actually illustrations were before the written word. If you go back to early man and the pictographs that they left on cave walls and things like that. So really, illustrations have been with mankind pretty much since the very beginning, and telling a story, telling a picture that sometimes, of course, early, they didn't have the words to communicate that, but the pictures they left behind still give you an idea of what kind of life they led.
Yeah, and I think that says everything, doesn't it, about how compelling illustration is in terms of discipline, because they say even, you know, a movie is what photography, still photography 25 times a second, you know, those kind of images that we can relate to and that they basically tell a story that people are able to really engage with. And I think that's part of the reason, isn't it, why it is such a very important part of setting a book up, is to consider what kind of illustrations work best in order to enhance people's enjoyment of that book. What are the specific challenges that you find with the North Pole Press when it comes to putting the books together?
Well, I think one of the things is that you have to have clear communication with an author if the author is not obviously the illustrator, particularly with children's books, because often the story itself, you don't really describe the character. You describe an action of what's going on. So you really have to have a clear picture in your mind of an illustrator of exactly what that character is supposed to look like for the author. So direct communication is really important, and examples to say, you know, is this what you're thinking of looking at? Because certainly the author wants those illustrations to make their words come to life. And so I think that's one of the biggest challenges, is to look at the lyrics, the words, and put the images and make them not only what you like to see, but also certainly for the author itself.
Yeah, because that's one of the big challenges, isn't it, is to balance out what kind of illustrations you might want to use versus the physical demands on the book, you know, whether it's going to be 50 pound paper or 70 pound paper, whether it's going to be high definition printing or, you know, glossy paper or all of those kind of things. How much of an impact do those considerations have? I mean, is that something you think about right at the start, or is it more something that comes together as the project develops?
I think the biggest thing, the one thing you have to know right from the beginning is your size. Is what size book do you want? Do you want a typical 8.5 by 11? Do you want something smaller? And of course, part of that is determined by your printer, because your printer can only do, you know, so many different sizes. So that is the most important to find out right from the get-go, is, and then of course the illustrator and the author needs to know that you have to do it in quantities of four. You can't make a book 22 pages. That's not going to print. You have to have 24 pages. Now, that doesn't mean every page has to be illustrated, but again, you really have to keep that in your mind of, you know, the size that you're working with and the amount of pages.
Yeah, because I mean, anyone who's read a North Pole Press book will know they've got wonderful bold colors and, you know, really welcoming illustrations. How much of a consideration is the color scheme? I mean, do you like to have a kind of overarching color scheme for every book, or is it different for every project?
I would say different for every project, and honestly, sometimes different for every page, because one of the things that we do is we have Santa's Elf series, And so it's all about elves and what they do up at the North Pole. And some of the pages depict like a what they're doing during the summer. So therefore, you have green grass and trees, and I try and depict the North Pole during the year because the elves live there all year. So I don't want to just put winter scenes. So it's a combination of things. But I think bold colors are very important because that attracts children. The other thing I think that's important is the more things that you can put in that, of course, relate to the story, but that, you know, you can, when you're reading to a child, especially a toddler, you can point out like that's a truck, that's a doll, that's a ball, and that helps, you know, children learn. So I think that's very important, and certainly the color. I mean, at least for me, I like to make it very colorful.
Yeah, because I mean, they always say that children's literature is, you know, the most in demand of all genres of book. So I mean, there must be lots of considerations that go into these illustrations. You know, when you start a project, you must start right from the beginning wondering, exactly what order of illustrations and what kind of illustrations you're going to be putting in. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it is. I mean, one of the things that Joe, who's the author, does is I will get the stanzas, and I look at the stanzas, and sometimes a stanza will lend itself to two pages, other times it's just one page. So that right away you have to start, you know, looking again at the number of pages, because you know, you don't want to make it longer than what the author wants, but you can't make it too short either. But you're right. Right from the beginning, you need to put the stanzas and what illustration depicts that particular stanza. And it's like an 8.5 by 11. It's really, you know, all it's like two pages of painting. And so the other thing that needs to be, you know, you need to consider is it takes the illustrator a fair amount of time to do that, because most children's books have at least between 12 and maybe 14 pictures or paintings or whatever you want to call it that, you know, so there's a lot of time that needs to be, you know, given to the illustrator to complete that, because it takes a lot of time.
And what sort of formats do you find are working best for you just now? Because, I mean, certainly over here, we've had a lot of popularity from our 8x8-inch square paperbacks, because that gives you lots of space for things like sidebars or maybe photographic illustrations that fit in around the text. I mean, are there any sort of favourite formats that you like to work with particularly?
I think we always do the 8.5x11, which is kind of the typical size of a children's book. And it really does give you a lot of room as an illustrator to put a lot in there. And that's kind of what I've been used to doing. That's the kind of format that I'm most comfortable with.
Yeah. And are there any particular favorites in terms of the projects you've finished in years past that you look back with particular pride and say, you know, that really worked, everything just fell together perfectly there?
Yeah, I think the one that is probably the one that I like the best is the Christmas Eve Journey, which was the, I think that was the 9th book that I actually illustrated. So like anything else, you know, my first illustration in the first book, I look back and go, oh gosh, I could make that character or that page or whatever look better than I did. But it's a learning process, just like with an author. You know, oftentimes I know authors go back to their very first book and go, boy, I could have, you know, written that a little bit better than I did. So when I did the Christmas Eve Journey, I really took a lot of time, but all the different experiences that I'd had with designing a book and working on it in colors and format and layout all came together. And so that's the one that I'm the most proud of.
Yeah. And if you are listening at home and you haven't read The Christmas Eve Journey, it comes highly recommended, because if you've ever wondered what the opposite side of the Clement Clark Moore story looks like, this is your big chance to find out. You can see exactly from Santa's point of view what really was going on that Christmas Eve night. And I think that, you know, kids of all ages will just love it. So, yes, you know, if you haven't read it, this is your chance to find out more about it. So, what do you think the future holds for book illustrations? Do you think, you know, people talk about things like holographics? I mean, that was big in the 80s, particularly. I remember reading The Moonstone by Michael Palin, which was full of holographic illustrations. And for a long time, people thought that was going to be the way ahead. But I think they were just so expensive to manufacture. It's kind of taken a back seat. And then we had the Magic Eye images, you know, that people could sort of see these stereoscopic images and within the books. I mean, do you think these things are going to make a comeback, or do you think we're looking at something totally different?
I think it could possibly be a combination. You know, in today's world, when you're out and about, you see toddlers really either playing with their parents' phone, or they're already given a tablet of some sort. So it's a more natural process for them to look at a computer. And of course, if you're doing a computer image, then you don't have the confines of printing. So you can do animation, you can do different things. And I think there's going to be probably more animation, because there's a lot of more affordable programs out there now that either you can do animation yourself, or even if you hire somebody, it's not maybe quite so expensive to do. So I think animated books and those kind of things are going to be become a lot more popular. But having said that, I think still the printed book, there's something to be said about having a child sit on your lap or next to you and actually read a story with you. So I think it's just like, you know, a long time ago we heard, oh, well, print's dead because the computer's in. And that certainly was never the case. So I think there's still going to be a lot of print books out there. But I also think that, yeah, I think the animation and those kind of things are going to be more affordable. And for publishers, I think they're going to be able to do more of that.
Yeah, see, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think ebooks and, you know, electronic publications generally, I think so many publishers have a love-hate relationship with that, because I think, you know, I think there has been research into people reading text from a book versus text from an ebook. And I think you're something like 70% more likely to retain the information if you're reading it from an actual physical book. Which is one thing that's interesting. But on the other, there have been so many false dawns when it comes to electronic narratives. And I remember, do you remember the Infocom games in the 80s, the electronic sort of interactive fiction titles? And they were so huge that in 1983, the New York Times ran an article about them and said, you know, well, this is it, the book's dead now. Everyone wants to play these games, and you get a prose narrative that's the equal of any novel. Right. And then 2 years later, 1985, they'd just disappeared. They'd gone back into the ether again, as if they'd been completely forgotten about. But, you know, they're still remembered now as being the very finest text adventures you could get. And then here we are decades later with the ebook. And a lot of places, there's a company called DC Thompson. They're actually in Dundee. They produce a number of comics for young kids, including The Dandy, which starred people like Desperate Dan and all these other characters. And that's went completely computerized now. So if you want to see it, you have to visit their website. And you can still see all of your favorite characters, but only if you're watching it on a tablet or on your PC or whatever. So, you know, do you think that there's going to be more of a combination of these different kind of media, you know, as things go forward? Or do you think we're going to come back eventually to the good old-fashioned print?
I don't think you can go back. You know, for one thing, like I said, that if you're born today, you know, you see even little kids, they get their little fingers moving all over the thing, and they know how to work those things. I don't think we're going to have a life without those. But I do believe that it's going to be a situation where you can marry the two. There's going to be times when parents are going to want to give the kid the child their phone or, you know, the tablet or something, because they're busy doing something else. So this keeps the child occupied, and it's also can be a learning tool. So there's something good about that. Instead of just, you know, maybe playing a mindless game, you can do, you know, reading and or watching, you know, action figures from a book. But then when you want to spend time, quality time with the child and have them, again, maybe sit on your lap or right by you, well, then you're going to take out the printed book and then read to the child. So I think there's still going to always be that. And that's as it should be.
Yeah. And I mean, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, that particularly for the very young, you know, that story time aspect of having a really compelling narrative read to you, you know, and I think so many different companies realize that, not just publishers. I mean, I think back to, remember Teddy Ruxpin in the mid 1980s, yes, the toy that could read the story to you. I think that there's so much interest in that kind of thing now. And I suppose, you know, if you're sitting by the fire and a really young child, it doesn't really matter if it's a book or whether it's a narrative on a tablet or whatever. I mean, I think the most important thing is that human connection, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then that is true too. You're both watching the tablet or you're both reading together. And the other thing I think that is true with a book, which is not true with a tablet, is easy, is the fact that you can go back. Mm. You know, lots of times kids have a favorite page or a favorite phrase or maybe a picture, and they want to go back and look at it. And it's easier to do that with a book than it is, you know, with a computer program sometimes. I mean, I know even myself, I read all the time. Mm. And if I kind of get confused on a character, I have a heck of a time trying to go back and see what was said before. I usually just say the heck with it. And I just keep reading, because it's not as easy to do that with like a Kindle or something, you know? So I think there's also that side of it with books, that children can really have a chance to look at pages and stare at them for a long time and I don't think you're going to get quite that same connection with a screen.
Yeah, I mean, because I always think that's one of the big challenges for illustrators, is when you get a book and everyone has a slightly different idea of what a character looks like.
Yes.
And then you have an illustrator that has to try and distill somehow the elements of that character into a visual representation. I always think that must be really difficult. The one that springs to mind is when J.R.R. Tolkien wrote The Hobbit. And there was an early edition, an illustrated edition, by Tove Jansson, who was the person that did the Moomins. And the representation she has of these characters is so wildly different and very imaginative from the way that we've come to know these characters now through the Peter Jackson movies. It's quite astonishing to see. I mean, I'm told actually at one point Tolkien went back and changed some of the descriptions in his book to make them slightly more clear in comparison to what Tove Jansson had done, because obviously Gollum is a little sort of diminutive character, but she'd produced this very tall kind of Nordic character instead. So I always feel, you know, it's a kind of work of art for illustrators to be able to get these characters and put a little bit of their own personality into them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you really, you know, again, it is an art form. And, you know, the other book that we did is The Many Faces of Krampus. And that is more for young adults. And we decided to, because especially in the United States, Krampus is not as much of a known figure as it is in Europe. And so we decided we wanted to do just a illustration for the chapter. Mm-hmm. So there's that too, you know, again, as you were saying, of Joe goes into a lot of explanation as to what Krampus look like, but sometimes it's hard to really get it in your head. And so I depicted what we thought he looked like. And so, again, it kind of gives a little indication of what's coming in that chapter. And so, yeah, I think, again, that does help as you go along as to, you know, and some people quite honestly don't have as much imagination. So it's nice if you kind of help them along on that.
Yeah, because that must have been a real challenge, because as we know in Europe, Krampus has many faces depending on which country he comes from, whether it's the Germanic countries or the Scandinavian countries or maybe further south in Europe. So being able to you know, represent him in all these various different forms, that's an uphill struggle.
Yeah, exactly. And so we wanted to make sure that people knew at least what our depiction was. Not that it's the only one or the right one, but that's at least what that book is you know, derived from. So yeah.
And dare I ask, are you working on any new projects right at the moment, or have you got various different ones in the pipeline?
We've got a book in the pipeline, and that is a book about our elf Forest Hedemup. And he is basically in charge of all the animals up at the North Pole. So we think that's actually going to be a fun book for kids, because they love animals. And in our North Pole, we have everything from penguins to sled dogs to polar bears. So I'm going to be drawing a lot of animals. So that's in the pipe. That's probably not going to come out until the end of this year.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a fantastic project. How can people find out more about your new books, but also your existing ranges?
Well, we'd like to invite them to go to our website, which is www.thenorthpolepress.com.
And can they follow you on social media as well?
Well, yes. They have. We have the North Pole Press on Facebook.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So I would recommend anyone who wants to find out more about all the different books that are coming out of the North Pole Press to, you know, to follow them on social media, check out the website, have a look. And because it's not just books, there's all different kinds of products that you'll find on there, and many of which will surprise you. So there's lots of treats in store.
That is true, yeah.
So, Mary, thank you so much for having joined us today. It's been fantastic to talk to you about such an important topic in publishing, and one which I feel is often, you know, perhaps not talked about as much as it should be. So it's been great to explore that topic and talk about all the different facets of it with you. So thanks so much for having taken the time to speak with us today.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm very glad that you enjoyed me. And I do agree with you, Tom. I think this is one topic that's so important, but it just, for some reason, not discussed as much. So hopefully people will get a lot from this. So I appreciate that.
Well, thank you, everyone, for having listened at home. I do hope that you will come back and join us again soon. In the meantime, take care.
If you would like to find out more about advertising on the Extremist Publishing Podcast, please visit their website at www.extremistpublishing.com for details.